There we go. Okay. So today is February 17th, 2004, and we're going to do lesson number 181. And the title is called Bending Fingers Backwards, Part 1. So it's kind of a strange title, but you'll understand what it is. So go ahead and lie on your backs and take a moment to sense how you're feeling on your back, observing how your arms are resting on the floor, how your shoulder blades are resting, how your back and pelvis are resting and your legs. And take a moment to observe your breath and your breathing today. Remind yourself about the four parts of your breath, how there's the inhalation, the pause, the exhalation, and the pause. And throughout the lesson, just to tune in and become aware of those four parts. So begin by rolling onto your right side. And as you come onto your right side, have your right arm long above you so that your head actually rests on your arm. And your legs will be stacked on top of each other. So that means that your left knee will be on top of your right knee. And then your left arm will be straight out in front of you. That's it. It needs to be straight. Now begin to do a movement with the left arm, left hand, of sliding it forward away from you. So you slide the left arm on the floor, and then bring it back, bringing it back to the starting position. And attempt to have the elbow in somewhat of a locked position. So that means that your shoulder, elbow, and palm is all lined up, and you slide the entire arm forward. So it's not necessary to creep the fingers. Really see if you can just slide the palm. That's it, forward on the floor. And what begins to happen with your chest, which you're all doing so nicely, is your chest begins to roll towards the floor as if you perhaps might eventually lie on your stomach. That's it. And then pay attention to what brings you back to the starting position. Is it the trunk, or do you try to do it with just the arm? And perhaps you can try either option, either way. Good. Very, very nice. Very nice. And then slowly let that go to roll onto your back and rest. Now go ahead and roll onto your left side. So as you roll onto the left side, you bring the left arm long above you so that your head will rest on the left arm. And again, it's to be long. That means not to be bent at the elbow. And then you'll bring your right arm straight out in front of you, again, making it kind of like a stick. So the shoulder, elbow, and palm are lined up, and your knees are stacked on top of one another. And now, while you're lying on your left side, begin to slide your right hand out and forward in front of you as far as you can, and slide it back, feeling how your trunk, your spine, your ribs twist, allowing your chest to approach the floor. Feel how your head rolls in a way off the left arm so that your nose and your face roll down into the floor. As if you were going to lie on your stomach, see if it's possible to get your entire chest to come to lying on the floor. So that means the right side of the pelvis comes forward. And then you always bring yourself back to that starting position. Now just pause for a moment, resting on your side. Once again, bring your right arm straight out in front of you and begin to slide it again away from you. And this time, as you sense that you're approaching the end of your range, you begin to lift the tips of your fingers so that you start to pivot, so to speak, on your wrist and your palm. But not until you reach the very end of the movement. So you start to slide the arm out and away from you. And as you get to the very end, you feel how the fingertips pivot up and the heel of the hand and the wrist press down. And then you come back to the starting position. So I know in the beginning, it's, as you approach doing this, it feels like a couple different movements. But see if you can find a way, that's it, that it makes sense to you. That if you continue to slide the arm far enough away from you and you roll onto your stomach, if you were to continue to go, your arm would, like, in a sense, take flight. And the first part that would lift up is the fingertips, and then eventually the wrist and forearm. But the only way for the entire arm to be able to lift would be for the chest to be down. See, something's got to press down into the floor to allow this type of lifting. That's it. And some of you are already getting it, and some of you are still a little uncertain. So go to that end point, and you've got the fingers up. And just imagine somebody keeps on lifting the fingers up so that the arm lifts. And it doesn't lift because you tighten the shoulder. That's it. It lifts because somebody's picking up the fingertips and pulling them towards the ceiling. So you bend the wrist into a 90-degree, that's it, angle. That's it. Nice, Kristen. That's nice, Paul. So you really, that's it, Susie, you really bend at the wrist so that those fingertips come up towards the ceiling and that wrist is bent. 45 degree angle. Pardon me. Okay. Let it go. Roll onto your back and rest. Roll onto your right side again. Have your right arm long above your head so that your head can lie on your right arm. And your left arm will be straight out in front of you, your knees bent, stacked on top of one another. And we'll continue the same idea with your left arm now, which is to start by sliding the arm out and away from you. And as you begin to approach the ending of your lengthening the arm away from you, you start to lift the fingertips up towards the ceiling, feeling the heel of the hand press into the floor. And eventually imagining that the fingertips could be lifted up towards, that's it, towards the ceiling. So that the whole arm could actually start to lift up and away from the floor. That's it. And just see if you can continue to lift that arm so that the fingertips might even be pointing towards the back of the room. So if your arm comes up towards the ceiling, the fingers would be pointing behind your back. So you lift the arm, and your chest stays rolled into the floor, but you lift the arm up towards the ceiling. And as you continue to explore the movement a little bit more, check in with your breath and your breathing. Notice if there's any moments of holding your breath. If so, pause with the movement to allow your breathing to become regulated. And then try the movement again. Okay, and let it go. Slowly roll onto your back and take a rest. Now this time you are going to roll to your side and come up to sitting. So it's best to go over to a side, whichever side you'd like. And when you do come up to sitting, sit with your legs crossed in front of you. It used to be called Indian style, which it's not anymore. I think it's what, crisscross applesauce now at schools. Politically correct, I guess. So, with your legs crossed, your ankles crossed. Good. And bring your arms straight out in front of you. And bend the heel of your hand so that your fingertips are pointing towards the ceiling. So it's the exact same concept. This will be going on throughout the lesson. And now begin to do a movement of bending the elbows so the hands come towards your chest. So your hands should be parallel. And then pushing away from you so that you straighten the elbows. And as the elbows become straight, you continue to think of the fingers bending more back towards your face. So we're calling that direction backwards as the fingers bend back. So you kind of let it relax as the hands come towards you. And then imagine you're pushing something away from you or somebody and using the heel of the hand, which connects through the elbow into the shoulder and the back. And the fingers bend backwards towards your face. That's it. Again, check in with your breath and your breathing. It's an unusual lesson, so there's often times where you'll find yourself holding your breath. Just remind yourself to allow it to be regulated. Very nice. Good. Slowly let that go, and you can roll to your side to get down to lying onto your back to take a rest. Once again, you're going to roll to your side and come up to sitting. So pick whichever side is most familiar to you. And when you come up this time, you're going to sit with your right leg bent in front of you and the left bent behind you. So right leg bent in front, left leg is bent behind you, like this. There you go. Good. You end up leaning on your right hand. Bring your left hand straight out in front of you in the exact same position as we just did. So already bending the fingers back, thinking of pressing the heel away from you, and begin to turn the entire arm left and right. But you can begin the turning with the fingers. So that's it, Susie. But have the elbow straight so that the entire arm, so you feel it in the shoulder joint, and even to the point that you start to bend your ribs, that's it, and your spine. So, Susie, come back to the beginning. You can open your eyes. Okay, so bring your hand back to the beginning. That's it. Keep your fingertips pulled back. That's it. So that's a constraint. You cannot lose that. So figure out how can you turn. That's better. The whole arm, but not lose that. And again, it's very important to check in with your breath and your breathing. If you find yourself holding your breath, it means you're trying too hard, you're working too hard. So make it easier, take a moment to pause. That's it. Good. If you need to take a little break, you can, and then come back to it again. And perhaps this next time when you come back to it, you can think of bending in your ribs left and right, and that's what turns the fingertips. And the more that the elbow is straight, you'll see the easier that concept is. Because we're so used to doing all the bending through the elbow for our wrist. And we don't connect to our trunk. So these are the constraints. Good. Okay. And just pause in sitting. You either can bring your legs to being cross-legged or just rest or pause in this position. And then we're going to change the legs to the other side. So that means that your left leg would be bent in front of you now, and the right leg bent behind. Good. You can lean on your left hand, and start by bringing your right hand up in front of you, and perhaps this time let's start with it bent, and the fingers pointed towards the ceiling, and first do the pushing away from you, pushing that heel away from you to get the elbow straight, and then bend again. And some of you may even experience some slight tension of pain in the forearm here from those muscles that work so hard to bend the elbow. Good. Now begin to turn the fingers left and right, which means the whole arm turns, and you begin to sense that the ribs and the spine turn. And again, the moment you feel your breath interrupted, you pause. You can take a break and rest. It's very important to learn to pay attention to yourself and the moments of when you need to take a break and rest, and then you come back to it. There's no hurry, there's no rush. There won't be any gain if you continue to do the movement without a break, except for exhaustion, mental fatigue, as well as physical. Good. So, when you feel satisfied with the amount that you've done, you can take your time and roll down onto your side and your back and take a rest and just observe how you're lying on the floor now, the sense of your arms, in particular your hands and your wrists, your spine. Now, as you continue to lie on your back, bend your knees, bring your feet to a standing position, and bring both of your arms straight out to your sides. Really make sure that they're straight out from the shoulders. So if you need to look so that the elbow and the palm is lined up, and palms down. Down. There you go. And now in this position, begin to lift the fingers off the floor. Think of bending the fingers up towards the ceiling, allowing the wrist, the heel of the hand to press into the floor. Yeah, it's pretty amazing how challenging this is. It sounds simple, but it informs you how much we use our wrists in the opposite way, in the flexion way and bending the elbow. So those muscles get very shortened. That's nice. And pause, rest for a moment. Now, once again, roll to one of your sides and come up to sitting. You're going to sit with your legs crossed in front of you. Great. And this time you're going to bring your arms out to the side, just like you were on your back. And start with the fingers pointing up, and your elbows can be bent. And now it would be as if you were in like a box or something, and you wanted to push the walls out away from you. So that's it, Susie. Fingers towards the ceiling. You can even start with your elbows bent more, Susie. That's it. And you're thinking of pushing out and away from you. Again, trying to straighten through the elbows and then come back. A reminder once again about your breath and breathing. Very nice. Good. Notice for yourself what kind of connection you're beginning to feel into your back, to your spine. If you can get past the discomfort in the wrists, stretch your mind a little bit. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Good. Okay, pause just for a second. Remain sitting. And notice how your legs are crossed. Everybody has a, what we call a habitual way, or I like to think of it as the familiar way in which one leg is in front of the other. So change over the legs. And just feel how that just adds a little confusion. Stirs it up a little bit, your balance and your way of sitting and organizing on your sit bones. Bring your arms up out to the side. You can just, or do one at a time if you want. You can hold the leg and do one arm at a time. There you go. And the same idea, so start with your elbows bent. Can you, is it too hard to pivot here? Yes? Out. But your hands are more here. Can you do? No. Okay, try here and then, yeah. You look like you're bumping yourself up. That's it. Okay, just play with that. There you go. That's better. Okay, good. Push the heels of those hands away from you, bending the fingertips back. That's it. Good. Really nice. Okay. And let's let it go. Roll onto your back and rest. Huh? Mm-hmm. Keep breathing. Yeah, you tend to hold it. Well, that's one way to do it, is to, you know, that's often what they like to teach people when you go to lift weights too, Susie, is to inhale with one part of the lift and then to exhale. And I'll say that that's a, in a way, it's a more primitive form of breathing, because when you get more sophisticated, meaning that you can handle more variables, you can allow your breathing to be just regulated with yourself, and it doesn't have to regulate with the movement, so to speak. That's when you become actually, yeah. Well, but some people, what I'm saying is it's like the first level, which is a good way. Some people so hold their breath, but that the first step of just getting you to breathe is connecting it. And then as you learn that you can breathe doing things, you can learn that you don't have to, you know. So it's good that you paid attention to that. Because it's the same kind of requirement. Yeah. You're being a real trooper today, Susie. If I had told you you had to come up and down so many times, you would have walked out the door.
I'm learning how to manage.
I know you are. You're such a trooper.
Well,
you are.
Mm-hmm. And that helps.
Yeah.
In other words, instead of I just concentrate on one thing, the rest of it sort of goes away.
Right. It's because you've got too much fluid in the inner ear. Okay, so once again, we're going to roll to our side and come up to sitting with your... I know, I have to laugh. Oh. Are we going to come up and sit today? Oh, just a little. You'll be fine. Okay. Sit with your right leg bent in front of you, the left leg bent behind, leaning on your right hand. And this time, your left hand is going to be straight out to the side. You can start with it bent and the fingertips up. And then you're going to push that left hand away from you, continuing to keep the fingertips up, and continuing to push so much that you lean your body to the left. Enough that the right hand comes away from the floor. So truly, what I use at this point is a lot of visualization. So let's say there was like a piece of furniture or something that you really needed to push, and this was the only position you could be in. And if you kept on pushing and it started moving, the weight comes off your right hand and you keep on leaning enough that you could even take the heel of your hand down to the floor. So, Kristen, yeah, go back. You don't lean until it's out like this. So you start here, and once the heel of the hand is out, then it takes the body. But think of going, that's it, Susie, down towards the floor, the heel of the hand. That's it. Good. Very, very good. And pause in sitting for a moment. And then we'll change over the legs so that the left is bent in front of you, and then you swing the right behind you. And that means you can bring weight onto the left hand, and then you're going to bring your right arm up, out straight to the side. Start with the elbow bent, fingertips up. First, push that right hand away from you until the elbow locks, and then you start to continue to push enough that the left hand comes away from the floor because you're leaning to the right through the pushing. It's taking your body to the right. So you come over in a way the right hip joint. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Go ahead and let it go and slowly roll onto your back and rest. Okay, again, please roll to your side, and you're going to come actually up onto your knees. So instead of coming to sitting, once you come over to the side, it's probably easiest to just roll up onto the knees. And once you're on your knees, you want to bring your left foot to standing. So I call it the knight position. And so come up now, Kristen, up so that the left foot is up. There you go. Yeah. Okay. And in this position, bring your arms out to the side. There you go. Find your balance. And you're going to begin to turn the arms now. So we're going back to the turning motion. So first you can turn them together. Fingertips going forward. And feel how the chest is involved. That's it. Good. Now you can pause for a moment, bring the arms down to the side. And this next time, you're going to turn them in the opposite direction. So that means let's take the right hand and we'll say the fingers come forward and down. And the left hand, they go up and back. But it's almost would be the same thing as if you were twisting a towel to wring out. That's going to be the experience in your arms, right? It's like if you just twist it enough, and you'll feel a pull through the chest. That's it. Excellent. Again, pay attention to your breath and your breathing. Good. Pause for a moment. Come down onto your knees. Just sit on your knees. Be easier to come back up. So you can just sit. That's it. And when we come up this next time, we'll have your arms a little bit more instead of out to the side. You're going to come up on your right foot. So we'll think of your right arm out in front of you. Like if you were a knight, that would be the arm that would have a sword. Start fencing. Okay, so come on up. Bring your right foot up to standing and weight on your left knee. First, find your balance. So that means you find the distance between the right foot and left knee. And have that right arm more in front of you, and then it'll feel like the left arm is more behind you. Start with the fingers up, heels pressed away from you. Okay, and then as the right hand, the fingers turn down and in front, the left go in a way up and back. So you do the twisting. That's it. Yeah? There you go. Very, very good. Good. Okay. Okay, and it's hard to balance. Okay, pause and go ahead and take yourself down to the floor to lie on your back and rest. What's interesting about this lesson and that you should, that you'll experience, I think, when you leave here today, is there'll be a certain level of fatigue, in particular in the forearms, and yet with the fatigue, which is a really odd experience, is to feel strength at the same time. So somehow your arms and your hands are going to feel stronger than they've ever felt. Yet there's a certain kind of fatigue because you're using the muscle spindles in elongation for strength. Instead of what we do most of our life is to contract, bringing things into us, lifting things, carrying purses, groceries, where we're bent at the elbow, and the muscle spindles are in a contract phase. So this whole lesson is about elongating those muscle spindles out, but you're creating strength through bending the fingers backwards. So it's an odd sensation to have fatigue and strength coexist at the same time. So it's something I just wanted to talk about so that you can look for it. You can pay attention to it. It's kind of alerts the nervous system to something quite different than what it's used to. Okay, roll to your side again and come up to one more time to sitting with your legs cross-legged in front of you. And your arms will be straight out to the sides as we did earlier. You can start with them bent and then pushing the heels of the hands out away from you. Fingertips are bent up towards the ceiling. And this time you're going to turn the fingers together down. We'll say they go forward and down, which allows your chest to bend forward, your spine, to round, and your head to drop. And then as you think of pulling the fingers up towards the ceiling, and then as if they were going to come behind you, as if the thumbs and the heels of the hands could go towards the ceiling, your chest lifts up and your face lifts up towards the ceiling, your spine arches, and then you come back through the center and twist down. So both hands, both palms, both sets of fingers are doing the same, that's it, direction. But you're inviting the chest and the spine and the ribs to be involved, to participate with the movement. Again, as I've mentioned throughout the lesson, you can take a break, rest whenever you need to. It's really important to check in with yourself and to honor the need for a rest. Now let's see if you can come back and just try it, maybe just one or two more times, looking for an elegance in the way that you can move. So could you think of somehow if you were a dancer on a stage and you were performing and this was one of the movements, that there was an elegance about the way in which you're moving right now? Very nice. It's interesting how that word seems to facilitate you guys to breathe. Good. Okay. Let's let it go and rest on your back. And now one more time, please, again, roll to your side, and you're going to come up onto your knees. So both knees, sorry. Yeah. And once you're on both knees, you're going to place your right hand down on the floor. So you can actually sit on your knees if you'd like, you know, on your knees and your butt. And just the right hand on the floor. So go ahead and sit back on your heels. And lean forward and place your right hand on the floor. That's it. And begin to turn now the fingers on the floor. So you're turning the hand around itself. Just the right hand. Your left hand can be on your leg, wherever you want it to stabilize you. Yeah. But it doesn't have to be all your weight. You want to be able to turn it. That's it. That's it. Very good. Good. Now bring the left hand out and pause with the right and begin to turn the left hand. And again, it's not just the hand, but it's the whole arm. You're feeling the elbow again is locked. The heel of the hand is really where you're generating the turning. The fingers are very light, in a sense, on the that's it, on the floor. Good. Feel what happens in your ribs, in your back, how you shift your pelvis. Good. And again, let that go and lie on your back and rest. And once you're on your back resting, just check in and observe how you're lying on the floor now, what sensations you're feeling, what feels different from the beginning of the lesson. How are you making contact now with the floor? And then when you're ready, you can roll to one of your sides and bring yourself up to sitting and then standing. And if you choose to, once you're up to standing, is you can also take a moment to do one more movement, which is once you're standing, is to bend your knees and to place your hands back down on the floor. So you need to have your feet and knees spread apart and bend your knees significantly so you can place the palms down on the floor and drop your head down like a monkey. And you actually want to have your weight, let's say, on the left arm to explore pivoting around the right arm. But it's very, very important that your head hangs down on the floor, towards the floor. And that's okay. Or you can do it like Falk is doing. You can come up here. You want to, Kristen, you can come up here. So lean onto the stage. That's a very good idea. It's like leaning on a counter. And this would be something you could do at home. So lean your weight, let's say, on the left hand so that you can pivot the right hand. And you should let your head hang. It's very important to let your head and neck hang. Your eyes should be looking at your belly button. That means your neck has to let go. And if all your weight is in your left hand, that's it. You pivot on the right. But think of the heel of the hand to press into the floor. That's it. Those fingers should be light to the point that they could even lift up. That's it. And then place your weight on the other hand, on the right hand, so that you can do the same pivoting with your left hand. That's it. Excellent, Kristen. Feel what you do in your ribs. Feel what you're doing here. That's the idea. Your weight shifts in your pelvis. So for those of you at home who are not comfortable coming up to standing and placing your hands on the floor, you can go to a kitchen counter or to a desk in your office and wait there on your hands, allowing your head to let go. So again, your head hangs down. Your eyes should be looking towards your navel. And you place the bulk of the weight on one hand as you pivot the other hand around the heel. And you feel how you shift your weight in your pelvis and ribs to allow this movement to happen. It's an excellent way to straighten out and elongate the muscles in your arms and hands from working at the computer, to lengthen out your spine. Great. Now see if you can do both hands at the same time. So that means your weight has to be in your pelvis and your legs, not in your head. Let your head still go, but your weight is in your pelvis so that you can lean but still pivot. Nope, they can do opposite ways. They can do the same way. The same way creates a widening in the back. But if you hold the head up, you can't have your weight in your hip joints. And you'll feel pressure in your arms. So you must let your head go. You need to look at your belly button. And then your arms can be light and free. Any tension or holding in the neck, you can let it go even more. That's it. Now all the weight goes here. Good. Excellent job. And you could even explore sliding the arm away from you, pivoting on the heel, right? Lifting up the fingertips, sliding them straight out away from you, lowering your chest towards the counter. You would then lift your face and your head to look at the fingertips. All kinds of things you can do at home. Okay, good. So let that go and just bring yourself up to standing. Sense and feel how your arms are hanging along your sides now. Sense your posture and how you are weight-bearing on your feet and legs. And then you can go ahead and take a walk around the room and observe how it feels in walking. And again, notice throughout the day the unusual kinds of sensations that you may experience and feel in your arms, your wrists, your shoulders, your fingers. Again, you may experience this combination of some exhaustion and yet strength and suppleness at the same time. Okay, nice job. Everybody have a nice week, and we'll see you next week.